Pacers fans, bowl season is here and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout? Sign up for MyBookie.ag today and get paid fast when you win. MyBookie is your hookup for all your betting needs. You can even use Bitcoin now. That's crazy. Basically now, use the promo code LOCKEDON. You get a 50% match to your deposit, a 50% match when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. You can use this for bowl season betting, for NBA betting, for NFL playoff betting, anything you want to bet, you could do on mybookie.ag. If I were you, I'd be looking at, you know, over lines for the NFL playoffs weekend. I'd be looking at over-unders for NBA games. I'd be looking at NBA future odds, things like that, all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of things you can bet on mybookie.ag. And if you play today, you can play, you can win, and you can get paid right away. Use the promo code LOCKEDON when you go to mybookie.ag and get a 50% bonus with your first deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDON on mybookie.ag.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I am a co-host of the Locked On Pacers podcast. And of course, I am a staff writer at IndyCornrows.com, a SB Nation Pacers blog. You can find all my writings there. Also follow me on Twitter at FriedmanAdam5. It's been a tough one, Pacer fans. This is now the fifth straight loss for the Pacers. They've really hit a slump. They lost 122-101 to the Milwaukee Bucks last night. They do not look good. They're without their superstar shooting guard, Victor Oladipo, who has now missed his fourth straight game with a sore right knee. There's been still no new news on his knee injury. I would expect he does not play Saturday. They've been ruling him out a day before every game, which means it's still very bad. He's been dealing with this sore right knee all season long. But clearly, it's worse right now, and clearly, this team really needs their star shooting guard back. But when a team loses their best player, I think it kind of shows their true colors. So going into the season, I thought this team was going to just ride the hot hand for every game. They weren't going to be too reliant on one player. They were just going to see who was playing the best that night, let that player get his 20 shots, let that guy score 30 points, whatever it was. Or they were going to be sort of an even distribution. So you're going to see six or seven guys scoring 15 to 20 points, and that's how they're going to win games. Which, for a little bit, that's the way they played. But then it sort of became the Victor Oladipo show. He's been putting up 25 a game almost. He's been awesome, and it became a kind of... he has to carry this team back in games. That's consistently been over the past, you know, we talk about the Denver game. There's lots of games out there you can talk about. Denver's particularly one of them. San Antonio comes to mind. Chicago comes to mind. There's been a lot of instances where Oladipo just carries the team back from 10-point deficits back to a one-point win because he plays amazing. But without him, they don't really have that closer, and it's really shown that this team is full of mediocre role players, just like they were last season. Now, you know, I looked at the first 34 games of last season and tried to compare to see, you know, is this team better? They talked about they have more road wins, what and whatnot. But record-wise, through the first 39 games last season, the Pacers were 20-19. Right now, they're 19-19 going into their 39th game on Saturday. They're not any better. What's happened is, on the margins, their role players are better. So Bojan Bogdanović is definitely better than Monte Ellis. So is Darren Collison is better than, well, maybe not better than Jeff Teague, but he's playing better in that role. Even at, you know, you got Thad Young in the same role. Turner's a little bit better than he was last season. Thad Young's a little healthier. You know, they're just little things this team is better at, but they're not overall better than last season. Let's put it that way. Because, you know, they're still so reliant on one player. So the first... you know, his first 33 games played last season, Paul George put up 22 points a game, and Victor Oladipo put up 25. Basically, what the Pacers have shown is that they're a different team with the same style. They're the same team in the sense they still rely on one guy to carry them, but they play a different style. Instead of playing the sort of beat it up, slow it down, like they did last year a little bit. I know they played a little faster, but they wanted to play slower, Paul George said. This year, they're just playing extremely fast, which might be the reason Oladipo has more points. But overall, this team is not any better than last season, but they aren't any worse, which also points to the fact that they probably won the Paul George trade because Victor Oladipo is a superstar. He is a number one or number two option on a championship team. He is that good. You know, he is, when he was healthy for the first 33 games, maybe the best guard in the East behind Kyrie. He was up there. He was one of the best three or four guards in the Eastern Conference. And that's the kind of player that can lead a team to a championship. So, but with all these guys kind of playing like complete garbage over the last five games, it's shown some things that maybe this team shouldn't sacrifice short-term wins for long-term success. Here's what I mean by that. You know, as it looked like the Pacers were going to be a four seed, right? So at that point, you're thinking, oh, this team might actually just trade for a guy. They might try to bring in another guy to improve this roster and win a playoff series. Well, now, it doesn't look that way. They're about three games out of the, I think, of the number four or five seed behind Detroit. They don't own the tiebreaker, so it's going to be a long climb back to get into the four or five game. Right now, they're going to hover probably between 7 and 10 the rest of the season. So why not think about trading somebody? So first off, you got the three untouchables on the Pacers. Clearly, you can't trade Vic. He is going to be, when he comes back healthy, hopefully be one of the pieces of this future Pacer team. You don't want to trade Turner. I know he has struggled offensively for the Pacers, and he's frustrating at times, but he's still a great defensive player. He's still extremely young, and he's a center, so he's still extremely reliant on guys setting him up. But he will hopefully develop his own kind of shot, his own way to get his own shot, his way to get to the rim without needing somebody to set him up, and that will elevate his game to the next level. And Sabonis is probably the third one. Sabonis is definitely a piece of this team. I don't know if he is the starting power forward, the sixth man off the bench, whatever it is, he's a piece because he's extremely offensively talented. He is good at rebounding. He's just got some intangibles, and he's very young still too. So those are the three guys you have to keep. But everybody else is pretty much expendable. They all have roles to play with the Pacers, but they all are tradable pieces at the trade deadline because they're not going to be on this team in 2 years. I would guess of the six guys that left on the roster, and you throw in Robinson, Robinson might be the only one still on the roster in two seasons. I think there's a chance Collison is brought back because he's pretty cheap. I don't think Bojan's going to return if Robinson comes back healthy and plays pretty well, because Bojan, despite having a nice 25-game stretch, really has not been that great. He has to come back to that 25 games he's playing at. Otherwise, he's gonna be out the door because he's been terrible over the past five games. He's been terrible the first 10. He's been terrible the past 10, basically. So, and then maybe Poitras is here long term, but Joseph is not going to be here long term. Stevenson is definitely not going to be here long term. He's so many flaws. He's fine off the bench, but he still has so many flaws in his game that I don't think you can justify the roster spot or even the $5 million that you go get somebody else for. Thad Young, I think, should be traded at the trade deadline. They can probably get a first-round pick for him, which would be great. I mean, think about this. Kyle Kuzma went 27 last year. That's probably the pick they could get for Thad Young. Why would that not be worth it? They also could get rid of his option for next year by not having to worry about whether his $12 million is going to be on the cap. And you could slip Sabonis into his role, or you could even slip Poitras into that role. So when Robinson returns, which I think is going to happen in the next couple weeks, it sounds like, at least start getting integrated back into the lineup, I think Thad Young's going to be on the chopping block. He's really struggled the last five games or so. I mean, we saw it against Detroit where he just fell asleep the entire time. Over the last five games, he's only averaged 7 points a game. He's been a minus 17 on the floor over the last five games. He's been terrible. There's not much else to it, and I think he's the expendable piece right now. And I think by bringing Poitras and signing him to a full guarantee for the rest of the year, they kind of have put this pressure on Thad Young that we can trade you, because against teams like Detroit that play a stretch four, or Boston that plays a stretch four instead of a traditional power forward, he's kind of been useless. And you can start a guy like Poitras or start a guy like Robinson in his place at times, but then when you don't play a team like that plays more traditional power forward, you can start Sabonis. So that's where he kind of becomes expendable in some sense, especially if you can get a first-round pick for him. If Houston wants him, some team like that could just kind of, like Houston, I think, is the team perfect fit for him, honestly, because he could come off the bench, could back up Anderson in a sense. But that's beside the point. But if they get that kind of pick for him, they should do that because, I think it's valuable for them to get to the 8 seed, the 7 seed, because it's good to build playoff experience. But it isn't valuable for them to be the 4 seed and lose in the first round. If they're going to lose in the first round, I'd rather them accumulate some assets, because I don't think they're going to fall off. Even if they trade that, I don't think they're going to fall off to some terrible clip where they can't win any games and they only end up finishing 35 wins. I think this team is destined to win 40 to 42 games. Now, 42 will make the playoffs, 40 won't. It's the 1 or 2 game margin, but I think it doesn't really matter whether Thad Young is on this team. While he is kind of a leader of this team, I think you can get rid of him just because he can bring back such a good return. You know, I would look at Bojan too. I don't think the way Bojan is playing, any team's going to want him. But if he could fetch a first rounder, he should do that. You know, these guys are good players and they deserve first. They can go to better teams. So it's not like it's like a bad thing to get rid of Young. It's not like you're saying we're going to send Thung Young to the worst team in the NBA with the Suns. No, you're going to send him to a championship team. He's not going to, you know, it's not like no hard feelings. Sorry, guys, then we're trading you for a first round pick to like the Houston Rockets. Like, sorry, you get to play in the NBA Finals maybe. Not a big deal. Plus, they don't need, you know, winning right now is good for the morale and the fan base, but it doesn't mean anything in 3 years. They need to be at a team where in 3 years they can compete with the best teams in the East. You know, in 3 years from now, LeBron James may not be the best player in the league anymore. That leaves, you know, there's kind of this gap. You know, Boston is going to vie for it, and Boston will probably be the best team in the East in 3 years, but the Pacers got to be able to compete with Boston. They got to be the number two team to Boston. They could be. They could be if they can collect the right kind of assets, make the right draft picks, obviously, and develop their players. You know, if Turner can really develop offensively, which I think he can, he's still extremely young, then they're going to have two great offensive players in Victor Oladipo and Miles Turner in 3 years who are 24 and 28, something like that. And you throw in Sabonis, that's another nice piece. So they have pieces, and it looks good for the future, what I mean. So, you know, Pacer fans, when Paul George left, everybody pissed. You know, everybody's mad, but they have the pieces. If Oladipo is really going to play like he played when he was healthy for the first 33 games, the rest of his career, or the next 3 or 4 years, he's going to be one of the best guards in this league. You know, he's going to kind of steal that mantle from Paul George as he might have been the most talented pacer. You know, Paul George is raw talent-wise, but Oladipo has some of the same raw talent George has. He's faster than George. He's quicker around the rim, kind of things like that. Well, he could kind of steal that mantle. And I think Turner obviously has the potential to be one of the best stretch five centers. I think offensively, he isn't quite the level of talent or Porzingis, but defensively, he's better than them. And he's not asked to put up 25 points a game. If Turner can reach the 20-point-a-game number, that would be superb, especially with his defensive prowess, with his ability to block, protect the rim and things like that. That's playing for him. That makes him actually a better player than Towns, who doesn't really play defense, or Porzingis, who doesn't really play that well of defense. So, you know, like I said from the start, they don't need to sacrifice long-term success for short-term wins. They don't need to get rid of a first-round pick to bring in a player. They should look at trading guys that they get good value. You know, I'm not saying trade that Young for nothing. You should get good value. If you get good value for him, don't trade him. Don't be stupid. You know, you want to make the playoffs because I think when a team is young, they are. They have a couple young players like Sabonis, like Oladipo still is pretty young, and Turner. Playing in the playoffs every year is valuable. One, because it gives the players the taste they want to play in it every year. And two, you only get better in the playoffs by playing every year. That's why it takes teams usually 3 or 4 years to kind of progress along the playoff line to go first round loss and a second round loss and a third round loss and get to the finals. You know, you see it with a lot of teams. LeBron's teams were like that. The Warriors kind of jumped it a little bit, but they were like that where they lost in the first round. The Heat did that. The Heat, back with D-Wade, did that kind of thing. Not the most recent with LeBron, but that's how teams do it. They have to progress. So I'm not saying don't shoot for the 7 or 8 seed, but you could get rid of one guy and it'd be okay because if Robinson comes back, they'll have 10 men in the rotation and you really only need 9 guys because you can bring in Leaf at times and you can bring in Joe Young at times to kind of supplement injuries and minutes. So I think that's where they should head. You know, it's been really disappointing this first and last 5 games. I think Vic still missed Sunday. Maybe they can turn around against the Bulls. The Bulls have been playing great, so you never know. But they should be able to beat the Bulls. They have to figure out a way to match up against Mirotic, something like that. They have to figure out how to stop Mirotic and Moy Markkanen. I think Tony will be back tomorrow with a preview of that game. But for now, this has been the Locked On Pacers podcast. Have a great rest of your day.